on today's Compassion Radio.
What the movie became for me in terms of crafting the screenplay and building the blueprints for the movie was we have to tell a personal story. It can't be a data dump on people's heads. We have to tell a very compelling personal story.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast, celebrating 73 years of sharing the light of the gospel in some of the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. Let's start with a question today. What comes to mind when you think of the media, sensationalism and titillation? If it bleeds, it leads. Dare I say, fake news? We all know we can do better than that. Well, today, Bram welcomes a new friend who has a knack for putting words into the mouths of others. Well, he's actually a movie screenwriter and producer, to be more precise. And he's here today to discuss a brand new film he's involved with that is sure to make a big impact for the kingdom. Here's Bram to make introductions.
Friends, today on Compassion Radio, we're welcoming a brand new friend to the ministry, a man named Brian Bird. Now, Brian is a veteran of Hollywood, of all things. He's been there for about 30 years or more, and he's active in both television and movies. And you're going to see his name talked about a lot in the next month because of a brand new movie release coming up on the 6th and 7th of April, which we've talked about on the program before. It's called The Case for Christ. So, Brian, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Brian. Being with you, a big fan of what you guys do there.
Well, we're a big fan of what you've been doing recently, and I'm happy to talk about it some more. And it's just the launching point for some other interesting questions I know we're going to cover while we visit today and tomorrow. First of all, you were chosen as the key writer and massaged the entire story of Lee Strobel's life into a powerful screenplay. So tell me a little bit about the interaction you had with Lee and how you took on this project to become the screenwriter for The Case for Christ.
Sure. I got to know Lee when he was on staff at Saddleback Church, where I was a member for 20 years, and we became friends. In fact, he invited me to speak with him back at a pastor's conference in Willow Creek about storytelling for pastors as they're preparing their messages for Sunday, and so that was an honor. Then he left Saddleback after a time and came to Colorado, ended up in Houston, and he was back speaking at Mission Hills Church here in Littleton, Colorado, and I told my wife, hey, you know, we should go hear Lee speak. It's been a while since we've seen him, and, you know, it's a big church. We probably won't get to say hi, but it would sure be nice to hear him. Well, as it turns out, we came out of the service into the foyer of the church, and he was there with just a couple of people, had a little bit of a reunion, and he said, you know, Brian, some folks are pursuing me about possibly turning The Case for Christ into a feature film. Would you be interested? And I said, let me think about it. Yes.
Okay, Brian, besides the fact that you were a personal friend of Lee's already, what was it about this particular project you said, absolutely, I want to be part of that?
Well, part of it is I know it's such a powerful proof, you know, makes the case for Christianity, but I also had been talking with the studio, PureFlix, that ended up being the studio to acquire the rights to make this movie. I was talking to them about another project, actually trying to do a Keith Green biopic. That didn't pan out, but not much later is when the Case for Christ topic came up, and so the timing just was perfect, you know, for us all to work together on this. I just knew that this would probably be one of the most powerful and meaningful things I ever got my writing chops into, because it's such a powerful book, but it's also coming at a time when the culture desperately needs not only apologetics, but also just the great love story of Jesus for humanity.
Okay, so let's stop there and talk about the power of the story. Yes, it's an apologetics book in that it shows the path of one man toward a discovery and affirmation of what we know to be true, and not just playing to the choir, but dealing with all of the important questions along the way and all of the conflict that erupts when you pursue truth. This story is not about an echo chamber. This is a story where one man really truly gets crushed in the process, and because of that comes to life in Christ. And yes, we need to hear those kind of stories, but what was it about the structure or the narrative that you found in The Case for Christ that said, this has a real power?
Actually, I knew from reading the book that the book was too much information for a movie. It's, you know, 13 world-class experts on the proof and the veracity of the Christian story, the resurrection and Jesus' death and the manuscript stream and the veracity for all of that. But that's too much for a movie, right? You could make a great PBS series about that and documentaries. And in fact, Lee did that back after the book was first released. But to make a narrative film, an entertainment film, I knew that we would have to do a deep dive into Lee and Leslie Strobel's personal story. And I had known, you know, about their story because we had gotten acquainted years earlier. And I knew there was an incredible love story to tell along with the case for Christ. So really, what the movie became for me in terms of crafting the screenplay and building the blueprints for the movie was we have to tell a personal story. It can't be a data dump on people's heads. We have to tell a very compelling personal story. And Lee's story of trying to save his marriage, his perfectly happy atheist marriage, is a very powerful personal story with lots of conflict and lots of drama. It's also a big journalism story, right? Mm-hmm. We have a parallel journalism story that Lee is pursuing while he's trying to debunk Leslie's faith in order to get her out of the Willow Creek cult in his mind. Yep. He's pursuing a big journalism story in Chicago, one which in real life he was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for, actually.
And which, of course, ended up becoming a bit of a fraud story, which was the crux of his conversion.
Right.
He was confronted
exactly.
with all the kind of successes that men should aspire to in this culture. And then he gets all that and discovers that it was built on a pile of sand.
Right.
That really is the crux of the emotional transformation in Lee on the screen. And you did that beautifully, by the way. You wove those things in as parallel narratives, but also you're telling one story with two stories. I commend you for how you pulled all that together in the film. People who are about to see the world premiere are going to be stunned, I think, at how much you were able to live life in the compression of that story. There's a lot of stuff, as you say, that can't be on the screen.
Yeah.
But all the heart is there, and all of the essential facts that led to the conclusions that we are left to conclude are there.
Right. I have to give a lot of props to our crew, and especially to our director, John Gunn, and the fine actors, too, Mike Vogel and Erica Christensen, who played Lee and Leslie, just fantastic actors who did a great job. And John, it was just an honor to work with him on this movie because he is a really gifted guy. And we would spend hours and hours and hours workshopping each of these scenes to just get them right, right? Mm-hmm. You know, to refine them and to make sure it was all working together and nothing was sacred. We would brainstorm how to make a scene better, and I would go back and craft the material for the next day until 3 a.m. every night. So it was a really organic process of making this movie, and I think that shows in sort of the excellence that's on the screen.
Well, I think writing to the dailies certainly keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I definitely learned how to write for a daily deadline when I was a newspaper man, so it has helped me in my film and TV career as well.
Let's take a quick break here in the middle of this story and just talk again about the book. The Case for Christ is what the subject and the material is that the movie is based upon. And it's also the base material for a special edition of this called The Case for Easter that we're offering this month on Compassion Radio. It's not just a trimmed down version of it. It's a concise explanation of the story that is fleshed out in its full 13 expert chapters. But The Case for Easter is meant to be a pocketable item to share with friends and family who are asking questions about who this person is. Why is he suddenly all over the media? What is the story about? So we're offering it this month, but it's also not a dry read. I mean, it's very much a lively personal story of Lee's journey, so it's going to be a very good read for you. So please, when you contact us today, ask about The Case for Easter before this month is out. We only have a few more copies left, so ask for that and let us know that you're standing with us at Compassion Radio. Okay, Brian, about this story, once you got it all done, you had to do the rewrites, and of course, it's an organic animal here. It's growing and changing along the way, but hopefully closer and closer, hewing to the truth. Was there anything about the movie as it was finally issued that surprised you?
You know what? I think what surprised me most was how authentic it all turned out to be. I mean, I was there for the entire filmmaking process, but it's just so real. You know, our hats are off to the director, John Gunn, and to those actors, because you can write anything on a page, but it has to get up off its feet and become real.
Let's explain what it means to be real in filmmaking. Because obviously film itself is a fiction in that we are creating an artificial set on which this play emerges, and we figure out how to aim the cameras right, how to light it properly, how to get the right emotion out of a certain voice and a line. You know, there's a lot of monologues and longer dialogues in this film which really have zingers built right into them. And most of that was written down on the page by Lee. But how do you make something, as you said, real? What is real about doing this in Hollywood?
That is a function of the words on the page, but also the ability for the actors to interpret what they're reading, right? Because it has to get up on its feet, right? Those words have to get up on their feet. And you have to have actors who invest themselves so personally in this that it becomes real for them. Mike Vogel, who plays Lee Strobel, is a sold-out Christian man. He's a believer. For him, he honestly did not want to do a Christian movie, you know, faith-based movie. He told us that. He's been working in Hollywood for a long time as well, and he's a very gifted actor. And he said, I don't want to do a, forgive the term, cheesy Christian movie. Yeah. So when he was first sent the script, he sort of resisted, saying, I don't want to read it because I don't want to be involved in something that's not going to be excellent. And one of his mentors in his life, and he would tell the story to you himself, said, well, don't you have enough faith to read it? And then he, you know, sort of felt the guilt trip, but he told his wife, he said, I'm looking for any reason not to do this movie. And he finished reading the script and then turned to his wife and said, dang it, this is really good. So Mike Vogel came aboard, and he is so fantastic because he just imbues the story.
You're listening to Compassion Radio, and I trust you're enjoying Bram's interview with Brian Bird as they discuss the new film, The Case for Christ. Here is a sample audio trailer from the film.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And is it evidence you're trading?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
Stop blaming me and the church and God and do your job.
No one's ever proven if the shroud is the actual burial cloth of the Christ. But whenever someone looks in those eyes for the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
This sounds like an awesome film. Can't wait to catch it when it hits the theaters next week. What you can catch right now is the premium booklet we're offering this month from Lee Strobel. Boy, the timing couldn't be better. It's The Case for Easter. Call and ask for your copy or copies. For your gift of any size this month, this 73rd anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Our phone number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Call for your copy of The Case for Easter, but act quickly so we can get it into your hands before Easter. Let's get back now to the interview.
You know, he spent a lot of time researching Lee. He talked to Lee for hours and hours and interviewed him. And, you know, Lee actually recorded his own voice reading the dialogue so that Mike would have a template for that Chicago accent.
Yeah.
All of that is authentic. But then as you're making a movie, each of those scenes is like a stage play, right?
Yes,
there's no audience except the crew. But you workshop the scene. You think through how to block that scene and what physical action is going to take place and how to communicate, because not every detail of the action is going to be on the page. And sometimes you'll find a better way to put that scene on its hands and feet in the moment, right, as you're rehearsing that. So those are some of the techniques for making a more authentic movie and not having it just be actors reading dialogue. We're recreating creating reality in the best way possible, and that's you know, that takes some craft and takes the time. And PureFlix was generous with the time, and compared to some smaller films that get made these days, you know, we had a 27-day schedule. We shot this movie in 27 days. That may sound not like a lot of time, but that's a pretty healthy schedule to make a movie on.
And I imagine that it requires some pretty tight directing, so you know what you're going for and you know when you've got it.
Absolutely.
So you don't exhaust the crew and you don't exhaust the moment. And you're capturing a lot of very intense emotional crises.
Yes.
For a couple and for a career and for everything that a man faces in life is pretty much up there on the screen. Am I going to be enough man to gain the respect of my own father? Am I going to be the kind of man who's able to stay faithful to my wife? And what does it mean to rescue her? What does it mean to be a good father? What does it mean to deal with all the demons that are still haunting me? This is a great Ulysses journey here. I mean, everything that could be of Greek proportions is on the screen in the best sense.
Yeah. Definitely going on. And what I love about this story so much that makes it unique sort of in the world of faith films is that the hero of this story is kind of an anti-hero, right? He's actually railing against the faith that we believe in and trying to debunk it. He's trying his best to disprove it so that he can get his wife out of the cult. And that is a really interesting way to tell the story.
Yeah, it is.
Lee is an atheist for 95% of this movie.
And his victory comes in loss.
Exactly.
He's facing that paradox, that contradiction that seems to be at the very heart of the gospel, which is if you want to gain your life, you must lose it, and vice versa. And you don't allow him easily into that dark night of his soul. When he comes up against the wall, it's like watching a car hit a wall at high speed. And suddenly it's there. It's like you can't hold back that dam of resistance anymore. And we resonate with that. And you wrote that well. So I'm glad that you kept it as intense as it probably was for Lee and Leslie at that moment. There's nothing pretty about this kind of conversion story. It's very literally difficult.
Yes. And yet, you know, for all of the dark night of the soul that we have in this movie, we love Lee. I believe the audience is going to fall in love with this characterization of Lee Strobel because he does want to be a good dad. He is fighting his own demons for sure, but he hungers to be a good dad and a good husband, but he just doesn't want to do it on Leslie's terms. He doesn't want to do it on Christian principles. He wants to do it for his own reasons, you know. And my prayer is that skeptics will come see this movie. Now, it may rule some of them out because it's called The Case for Christ, but I do believe that anybody who's honest about seeking truth, you must check out The Jesus Story. If you're going to check out all of the versions of truth that this globe has to offer, you have to at least check out The Jesus Story if you're going to be intellectually honest about your pursuit. So I'm hoping and praying that this is not just a movie for churchgoers, although I think it's going to be a great booster shot for churchgoers.
An inoculation against doubt.
Exactly. Yeah, great way to put it. An inoculation against doubt. And I think that's exactly right. And I also think it's a booster shot of how to articulate what you believe. Because if we as believers have the ultimate cure for everything in the universe, how come we're sitting on it?
Yeah.
How come we are keeping it quiet?
There is no stockpiling the gospel.
No, but we do. There shouldn't be, but we absolutely do that. And here's an opportunity with this movie to share it with friends who we may want to know what we believe, but we've had a hard time saying it. We've had a hard time articulating, either because we don't know how to articulate or because we're afraid to. Well, it's not that hard to invite somebody to go to a movie. It's not that hard to actually buy a ticket for somebody to go see a movie, because this movie is going to absolutely stir up cravings in people. I really believe that. And it's going to stir up real flesh and blood conversations that we all need to hear. Right, that we all need to have.
And that pot starts getting stirred on April 6th and 7th with the nationwide premiere of this. Now, I know it's going into wide release. Do you know how many theaters will be premiering this film?
Yeah, it's going to be on 1,200 screens nationwide.
That's a very respectable start. I hope it grows from there,
Canada,
too.
Canada, too, by the way.
Very good.
Same day.
Our focus in the long run is to bring the global church to the West so they understand what's happening with third wave Christianity, how the kingdom culture is growing regardless, but also built upon the building blocks of the cultures from which we originate. And obviously, you're working in one of the most influential building blocks of any culture, which is the media. And of course, our culture media has a profound and outsized influence on other countries' media. So
it's the loudest conversation going on in the globe, and I'm sorry to say, even louder than what the church is having.
Yeah.
And if we don't be part of the conversation, it's going to go on with or without us.
And it has. And I think the media coming out of the East Coast is probably trying to convince everybody just to ignore it. That little storm you're hearing out there in faith-based media, it'll calm down. It's just another little eddy, a little ripple.
Yes.
And, of course, our job is to create a tsunami of change, but not to overwhelm other voices, but simply to become, again, our own Mars Hill, get back in the fight and lift souls to places where they can really encounter truth. So when I finished watching the film, I turned to my wife and said, I know Lee now, and that tells me that Brian really got it.
That's great to hear. That's the biggest praise ever to hear that. Wow, thank you. Amazing.
I want to continue the discussion about what it means to be living out this faith with you. If you can hold over for another program with us, I know we plan to allow a little more time. But I want to wrap up this segment by reminding folks that Brian Bird is the screenwriter par excellence and a great contributor on the production and direction level of this film that's being released next month called The Case for Christ. And that's going to be hitting the theaters, as he said, 1,200 of them across the country in just a few days. Brian, thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you again on tomorrow's program.
Thank you, Brian.
What a great conversation today between Bram and our special guest, Brian Bird. Be sure to catch part two of this discussion on tomorrow's Friday broadcast of Compassion Radio.
Hey, real quick, I want to mention once again that Compassion Radio hit a tremendous milestone over the weekend that is really worth celebrating. This past Saturday, the 25th, marked our 73rd year of ministry on radio. 73 years of God's faithfulness to us in this ministry, which was originally known as the Morning Chapel Hour. That said, would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Remember, no gift is too small, and if thousands of us join together, there's just no telling how God can multiply what you give in amazing ways. Our phone lines are open, and Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478.
Oh, and one more item. Ask for your copy of the Lee Strobel booklet we're offering this month, The Case for Easter, with your gift of any size to Compassion Radio. But don't delay. We want to make sure we can get it into your hands before Easter arrives. That's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Yours this month by request for your gift of any size this anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Let us hear from you today. And with the last word, Bram and Sandy Floria.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was in fact a real person. He died and rose again for him. Watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was very real and honest. I loved it.
I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Before we go, here's a special reminder for our friends who listen to Compassion Radio. We consider it a privilege to share God's Word with you and stories of Christ's accomplishments here each day. The Lord has allowed us to partner together and minister the good news and compassion of Jesus Christ. Toward that end, your financial support right now will determine the future of Compassion Radio here in this area. Call or write to us now with your gift. Your involvement means the world to us. Thanks again for your support. Our toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, as always, at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.